Hello, this is Megan.
And this is Holly.
And this is Yoga in the Dark. And this is our listeners episode.
Welcome.
Welcome.
We love you.
Thank you for tuning in. So for this episode, we are going to share stories and questions that our listeners have written into us because they love us and we love them.
Absolutely. I'm so excited. This has been a primary purpose of our podcast to make it interactive. So we're so thankful for those of you who wrote in, and we hope to hear from more of you as we continue on in this journey together.
Yeah, and if you have a story or a question you would like to submit, please email us at...
It's up there.
I was going to say you do it.
Oh, I do it. yogainthedark@gmail.com. Let's say that one more time. Oh, shit. That was the Bluetooth.
This is our new third podcaster.
That's our publisher. Her name is Bluetooth speakerphone. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck.
That was really good.
Okay. Email us at yogainthedark@gmail.com. What was that? Were you laughing? Were you burping? You're supposed to do
it. No, I was doing like a... you did it. You nailed it.
Oh,
I was like,
that was an I can't wait to
I just didn't want to make the sound. This is what it looks like if you don't make the sound. It's like...
Okay. I have to fix your mic. This is bothering the fuck out of me.
Yeah, you be your little OCD self.
Yeah, girl.
You're just like my child. I can tell you
he's my godson.
He's going to be OCD. He's very much like you that way. Yeah. Aww. It's not a bad thing because Matt and I both are not like that. So we kind of need a person that's going to be
real
neat.
You know what's really funny is so you met Mandy, one of my old friends. We've been friends for like 25 years. So her youngest child is now, I think, 14. And she just got a new bedroom down in the basement of Mandy's house. And she was showing us, we did a Zoom chat during this whole quarantine shit. And she went downstairs and she was like, look at this and look at this and look at this. And I was like, Mandy, Avi is so organized. And so she was like, yeah. And she like opened one, like a couple of her dresser drawers. And I'm not kidding that this kid is like way OCD. Like everything was like perfectly folded. And like all of her like undergarments are like perfect.
Is that how you were when you were a teenager?
A little bit.
That's funny because when I was a teenager, my room looked like a fucking tornado went through it. It was awful.
No, I was pretty clean and really organized. I think it just helped create stability in the chaos. Am I supposed to lean
in? I'm trying to figure out, does it sound better when we're close? I feel like
like a little bit better.
We need to be the same volume, otherwise it's going to be frustrating because one of us is going to be quiet and one of us is going to be loud.
Okay.
Do you want some books?
Yeah, give me some books.
I'm going to get you some books, girl. You love books.
I like to read.
You dirty little
my
nerd.
Books. I even use them for my microphone.
I'm like a foot shorter than you, so.
You really are.
You definitely need
Do you
help.
Remember when you were in labor and the nurse was like, how tall are you? And you go, 5 foot. And the nurse just like literally just like looked at you. Like she stopped.
She thought
writing.
I was joking. She looked at me and like laughed.
Yeah, and I was like, no, she's like a small,
small really,
human.
I'm not fucking with you.
Like a little pygmy.
You know, I
is
like
that a thing.
Pygmy?
Yeah, what's a pygmy?
Oh my god, this reminds me. Do you remember Small Headed Piglet?
No. What the fuck is that? What the hell is a small headed
For some
piglet?
Reason, that was like a nickname you had for me for
oh,
a while.
Oh yeah.
And it was in my
oh,
notes
that's right.
for the podcast and all it said.
No, I can't remember.
It didn't have any kind of backstory. Because I have really long notes saved in my phone of things to talk about on the podcast, of subjects I want to cover, and one was just Little Headed Piglet.
I remember calling you that,
yeah,
but I don't remember
why.
And no like, one knows.
So I need to start writing down like more information when I write. I think I'm going to jot down a quick note and I'll just remember the whole thing. But
I need to do like a past life regression on that. Like, where did Small Headed Piglet come from?
Maybe I was the runt of the litter one day.
It's in my Akashic records.
You were my mother.
Yeah, probably.
You were the mama pig.
I was. Okay, yeah. So you're going first, right?
Yeah, I love to go first.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. So the first one is from...
Just say their first name.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tegan.
Hello,
so,
Tegan.
Tegan is actually my cousin.
Hello, cousin.
So it goes like this. Hi, cousin and Holly. I hope this email finds you both happy and healthy. I'm going to include a hodgepodge of things here. Feel free to use some, all, or none. First, I am loving your podcast, and I am so grateful for it during these strange times. I am having so many light bulb and hallelujah moments while listening to it. It is wonderful.
Yay!
Thank you, Tegan.
Thank you, Tegan.
For a little context, I feel like my life has been in a state of transition for almost 2 years, starting with losing what I thought was my dream career, and then, most recently, having a relationship end with someone I thought was going to be my life partner.
As it turns out, we all know that.
All of the things I have experienced in these past 2 years that have thrown me for a loop have turned out to be for the best. But it feels like a long and uncertain journey that I'm still on. Yes, honey, I understand that.
Oh,
feeling.
Honey, girl, we are with you.
And I hate to break it to you, but I think most of our life is going to be
a hodgepodge.
Yeah, it's going to be a long misunderstood journey.
One long hodgepodge we'll probably that needs have a montage. I don't fucking know. Do you know what a montage is?
Isn't it like a gang of people? Holly, are you going to make me ask you to define yet another word on our podcast?
Okay.
I feel like I've already learned 5 words just from recording this
podcast. I think that's a flash mob that you're talking about. A montage. So a montage is a series of clips that give like over, I believe, a span of time, but it's like set to a soundtrack. So if you could put your life into a hodgepodge of a montage to a soundtrack.
What would the song be?
Oh, fuck.
You know
I
what
mean,
mine would be?
What?
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Oh, my God. Do you remember that day we listened to that song and like we were driving
times?
And it was on repeat?
And
we
were
like,
this
is like the fourth time we listened to this.
I kept telling her, can you like change the song because I love it? But we listened to it like 10 times
and I was
she
like,
kept
Megan,
getting distracted. And Holly,
I was driving. Of course I was distracted.
Why are you so distracted with stop signs and driving?
Oh, dear Lord.
Okay, wow.
Baby
so
Jesus.
Anyway, we're
okay,
fine.
So, sorry, Tegan.
Moving on.
This is what happens.
I'm moving on. As it turns out, all of the things I have experienced in the past 2 years have thrown me for a loop, have turned out to be for the best, but it feels like a long and uncertain journey that I am still on. Also, I am the kind of person you have described in Yoga in the Dark who is always thinking I will be happy when... I am currently working 2 jobs, which I am so grateful for, especially now. I'm enrolled full-time in grad school, and I am in the process of moving to a new city and state, which entails applying for jobs, finding roommates, and packing. The only time I feel like I have time to stop and take a breath is this time of night after I've finished my checklists for the day. She's so organized, just like you.
Cute. Aww. We're kindred spirits.
I do like checklists, too, though. I have a ton of them.
No, I know.
Phone.
I've seen
I
your
love
list.
Lists. Oh, they make me feel like I'm just in control of something.
Me, too.
Which is necessary right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I do take... Let me start over.
Please do.
The only time I feel like I have time to stop and take a breath is this time of night after I have finished my checklists for the day. Or if I do take downtime during the day, I feel like I am wasting time because I am being, quote, unproductive, unquote. I don't want to be like this, but all of the things I have going on feel pretty necessary for my future. This, I feel like this is just, like, so common in our society these days. You know, it's like we've been taught that the number one priority is being productive and his accomplishments.
Right.
And it's like, even when you do accomplish something, it's like, okay, what's the next accomplishment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's never like just floating in that moment of feeling accomplished or just like celebrating someone for taking rest and for taking care of themselves. So I am wondering where someone like me should start. I want to slow down and to include gratitude, meditation, and yoga, and to be in touch with the moon and be happy now. But I can't really give up my fast pace, or at least I feel like I can't.
Mm.
Also, do you have any suggestions for finding a partner who supports this lifestyle and is in touch with the feminine?
We start laughing.
I'm sorry we laugh because this is Holly and my life journey.
Literally,
honey.
Like as we speak, sister.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had much luck, she says. Finally, do you have any resources, books, movies, apps, etc., you can share for someone wanting to add more of a spiritual aspect to their life? Thank you, Megan and Holly. Looking forward to future podcasts. Love, Tegan. I love you, Tegan. Thank you so much for listening and for writing in. It means so much to me, and I don't think any other cousins listen to this, so I can safely say that you are my favorite cousin.
I think I can safely say none of my cousins, so Tegan, you're my favorite cousin, too.
Yeah, you're our favorite cousin. Holly's my family, so it counts.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with your first question, which was, you're wondering where someone like you should start. So you want to start to slow down and include gratitude, meditation, and yoga, and to be in touch with the moon and to be happy. I'm just going to start with the first one, which is to include gratitude. So I feel like you're saying that all of these things you have going in your life feel necessary. And I'm just wondering if you could reorganize your priority list and if you could put your self-care at the top of that list.
Absolutely.
And then if you could see what actually is still necessary. I also encourage you to take a look at your schedule. And if you have like your schedule like in a Google Calendar or something, you can look at like a week at a time and look at how many full days that you have off to yourself. And maybe you choose to book these days with visiting with friends, but maybe you have like an entire day that's just unplanned to yourself. You can dedicate to self-care. And if you do have that option, which I highly recommend having 2 to 3 days off a week. And I know that's so hard for some people. And if you're trying to support a family, you're trying to make a living and you don't have that option, I know we don't all, but if you can find a way to have at least 2, maybe 3 days off a week. I recently decided when going back to work from this quarantine that I am going to up all of my prices. I have upped all
Damn,
my rates.
Girl, really? Mm-hmm.
I've upped all my rates.
I need to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I actually had a meeting with my therapist. Shout out Lisa. I love you.
Hey, Lisa. What's
and we actually had just an entire meeting focused around how I can really get my priorities in order. How I can have my first priority be family time, be time with my son, and then second priority, you know, be my business. Actually, second priority be self-care, and then third priority be my business. But,
right.
I mean, honestly, and I know we're very conditioned in this society to feel like our work is our number one priority. But on people's deathbeds, I mean, barely anyone ever says they wish they worked more.
Yeah, right.
Everyone always says they wish they had more vacations, more family time, more time to themselves, more time to learn a new hobby. So I just encourage you to have time off. And then if you do have time off, try not to book all your time off with things to do. Have an entire day just to yourself. And during this day, I want you to wake up and don't let yourself like oversleep. Wake up and then like start the day by, if you don't have an altar already, build an altar. And if you just have like a couple of crystals, you can set out in front of you and sit on the floor and write in a journal everything you're grateful for, write in a journal everything you intend to bring into your life, and then just close your eyes and breathe for a couple of minutes, and then just with your eyes closed, say to the universe, thank you for, and list all the things you're grateful for, and then say all your intentions, and then say thank you, and then just sit in silence for, I mean, start with 5 minutes, maybe add, you know, more, eventually 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, but start really slow, right? When we're doing silent meditation, you want to start with like 5 minutes, something you can handle.
Yeah, that's enough at the very beginning.
Don't ever start with 20 minutes, start with 5 minutes, and your mind might wander, but you'll come back. Anyway, so that's a good way to include meditation. I mean, you can just dedicate one day of your week, 10 minutes. Honestly, that's all you need to start with. And
Absolutely.
Then eventually you'll be able to add more time in. And honestly, I get up early to meditate these days. Like when it's my day to sleep in, instead of sleeping in, I get up and I meditate. You'll just find time. You just have to get up 10 minutes earlier. It's not that hard once you start doing it and you realize how good it makes you feel. You're going to want to do it. And then with yoga, I feel like if you can just start to incorporate, start with one yoga class every other week, you know? Just start with one class every other week, and right now there's tons of online options, so start with one online and then up that up to once a week, and if that feels feasible, then just do it very slowly.
Little baby steps. Take it in spoonfuls.
Yeah, and with me having a toddler, it's been so difficult for me to learn how to keep up on my yoga practice, so some days I roll out my mat and I do one sun salutation Absolutely. With my toddler crawling all over me, and I'm so glad I just did that. Or I just like go into child's pose for 10 minutes and my baby's crawling all over me. But I count that as my yoga practice. So I feel like a lot of people get intimidated because they think that having a yoga practice means that they have to go to a 90-minute yoga class every day. And it doesn't have to be that. You can do five minutes of yoga, start with 5 minutes, build it up to 10, eventually start doing a class a week. Yeah. So just try not to stress it. The whole point of activating the divine feminine is to release the stress.
Yeah, right? Not stress yourself out more because you're like, I'm not doing enough now, even more. That's just a silly concept. So
the masculine energy is very linear and it's very organized. And it sounds like, Tegan, that you're very caught up in this masculine energy vibe. So feminine energy is very fun and flowy. So to help yourself get out of this like linear masculine mentality, you need to do feminine activities, which is like turn off all the lights in your room and dance in the dark in your underwear. Like put on music and move your hips. Like the feminine chakras are the root and the solar plexus. And so we need to tap into that root and not having any plans for the day. And then, to be in touch with the moon, it's super easy. There are apps you can download. You can download an app. I think it's just called Moon Phases or something like that.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you when the new moon and the full moon is. And it's just very simple. On the new moon, just put it in your calendar so you know when it's coming up. And on the night of the new moon, just sit down in front of your altar or just sit in meditation and write down on a journal what you want to manifest. And then just meditate for a couple of minutes. And then during the full moon, look at everything in your life that's holding you back from that intention and write down all the things you want to release and burn them in a candle. And then start to think of a form of action, a plan that you can start to manifest to make these intentions become true.
Is there anything else? She said something about resources, right?
Yoni suggested finding a partner. Okay.
I love the part where Yoni suggestions for finding a partner is, sister, here's the deal. You can find a partner that's within the yoga community, and just because they practice yoga or they seem to have this solid meditation practice does not create anything that... Hold on. I'm going to rewind really quick. Mine left.
Rewind.
Rewind. That's exactly what I thought of. So here's the thing.
And also don't think Tegan does yoga.
Oh,
okay. I don't think she goes to a studio or anything.
Oh, okay. Well, so here's what I've learned, and I think we mentioned it earlier when we were having a discussion outside of recording, which was just because somebody is practicing yoga, has a strong meditation practice, doesn't necessarily imply that they do not have imperfections. Yeah. There are going to be imperfections across the board. It does not matter who you are dating. Mm-hmm. I have found some of the most spiritual people outside of the yoga community. I have also found incredibly narcissistic fuckfaces within the yoga community. Mm-hmm. So it just really depends on finding a partner. Honestly, I'm just going to make the suggestion, partner yourself first. Partner yourself Love first. This, yes. Because when you're partnering yourself first, that means that you are going to inherently raise your vibration, and then the people in which the lessons that you need to learn are going to be attracted to you.
And the truth is, we teach people how to treat us. So if you're carrying yourself through the world like you're dating yourself, like you're pampering yourself regularly, you're taking yourself out on dates, you love yourself so much, you think you are the shit.
You're a catch.
You're going to attract someone who thinks the same thing about you. If you're walking through the world, not saying, Tegan, that you're like this, but if you're walking through the world like you need to find a partner and you're running out of time and you're kind of a little desperate maybe, then you're going to attract someone who's going to take advantage of that desperation. So you need to absolutely date yourself. And honestly, another good rule that I like to follow is when you do meet a man, straight out just ask him if he's a feminist. I swear. And if a man will admit that he's a feminist, that's someone that's worth spending your time with. And if he has any kind of reservations to that term, I mean, you can try to help him understand. Sure. Feminism is just equality. It's not saying that women are better than men, or we want to take control over you, or we want to
I do. Just kidding.
I mean, it's a masculine quality to want to control people. So feminine is not that. You know what I mean?
Well, you want to if you are a, I would just say as a heteronormative person, I'm not. But in heteronormative terms, I would say you want to be with a person or date a person or get to know a person who understands, especially if he is a cisgendered male, mm-hmm. who understands that he has privilege.
Yes.
And that he was born with that privilege. Yes. That privilege was just ascribed to him simply by him being a cisgendered male.
Honestly, Tegan, it's worth just having a straight up conversation. If you've been like out with a guy, I'd say 3 or 4 times, right? Before you sleep with them, I think it's important to have these talks.
Absolutely.
And I think moving into the sex portion, I think it's very, very important in the beginning of the relationship to establish what each other likes sexually. And then to honestly just have the first time you hook up maybe be all about you.
I absolutely agree with that.
And then the next time can be all about him and getting him off. But first, you, because it tends to be, you know, more common that like it's pretty easy to get a guy off, but to get a girl off, it might take a little bit of direction, mm-hmm. And it might take a little bit more time. So just like bringing that up and saying, look, for the first time, I just want it to be about me so you can learn my body. And then the second time, it can be about you only.
I love
anything
that.
You want, I'll do, like within reason, obviously. And if he says no, if he's not into that and he's like, no, I need to get off tonight, then that's probably a red flag.
Oh, damn.
But I think like a lot of the question was more so asking like where to meet people like this. So honestly, Tegan, I think you need to get into some either like yoga studio, meditation studio, or honestly start doing some volunteer work. And I'm pretty sure you're already into
that.
This. Like
sure.
My cousin, like Tegan, she's a real good person. She's like one of the best people that I know. She Aww. Really is. I know how you said like how production feels so important to you right now, but take one day of work out of your schedule and replace it with volunteer work, you know,
I
and just
that.
Cut your finances where you need to make that work if it's a possibility. And if you are volunteering with a cause that you absolutely love, I'm sure you're going to find someone there that you vibe with and they're obviously a good person because they're, you know, volunteering. And
love
also
it.
I should say that I stole that piece of advice from Dan Savage.
Love you,
Savage.
Dan
Love
Savage.
Cats. Okay, almost done. We should move on. Okay, any resources, books, movies, or apps that we can share for someone wanting to add more of a spiritual aspect to her life? So I think we've talked about before. So one, and we'll share these in the notes below, but one is Loving What Is by
Byron
Katie.
Katie. Mm-hmm. I would also recommend anything by Brené Brown.
Mm-hmm. She's
you know,
great.
The Power of Vulnerability, the Daring Greatly book. I personally loved Braving the Wilderness, one of my favorite books. I went and bought it on my birthday and cried my eyes out as I read the first 4 chapters in Barnes & Noble.
Also, The Tao Te Ching is really good. The Power of Intention by Dr. Wayne Dyer. And anything by Eckhart Tolle. A New Earth is really good. The Power of Now is really good.
He also has a YouTube channel, which is pretty fucking great because, you know, I do a lot of Audible books and his voice is so monotone. It drives me bonkers.
He sounds like a robot.
He really does. Well, and that's just kind of his personality. He has a YouTube channel called Eckhart Tolle TV, and it is amazing. He's actually incredibly funny. So wise, and he laces his humor and his personality really shows in the YouTube channel. So I would recommend that tenfold.
Thank you so much for bringing that up because so as a busy mother and a business owner, the way that I keep up on literature because I literally have no time to read anymore is I listen to audiobooks. So go ahead and get like an Audible app or an audio app. So a book I'm listening to right now that I really, really love is Feminasty by Erin Gibson. And she's definitely a feminist, but she's also a comedian. So instead of just like listening to a bunch of dry statistics, she's hilarious. I laugh out loud constantly by myself listening to her. But she will kind of get you worked up. So just be ready for that. It's kind of like that phrase, if you're not angry, you're not paying attention.
Totally.
So another really good book is called Pussy, A Reclamation by Regina Thomas Hauer, and this is just like a really amazing, empowering book. There's tons more books, and we're just going to share them down in the comments to save time.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's so much literature we can give you. And honestly, I feel like what you're complaining about is being way too busy. So if you don't have time to read books, listen to an audiobook while you do the dishes, while you fold your laundry, while you drive to work and back. It's a really good way.
Story of my life.
Yes. And I think that that's all. We answered all your questions.
Great. Thank you so much, Tegan.
And yeah. I love you so much. Thank you for listening and supporting us and writing in. And I really hope that you're happy and healthy.
Happy and healthy. Okay, my turn. So I'm going to first show you a picture, Megan. Mm. Look at this. Just take a look. Take a gander.
Oh, this is so beautiful.
Ooh, there was some thunder outside, guys. We might have a crash of lightning.
A lightning storm. So if you hear it, don't be alarmed. So what I'm looking at is like this picture of...
Whoa, that was
fucking cool.
That rumbled, and we're leaving that in the recording. Okay. That's cool.
So this is a picture of a troubled-looking male in a red hoodie, and he's at the top of a staircase. The staircase is coming out of his heart, and there's a huge chandelier at the top of his heart, and the staircase is coming out. And there's a gorgeous woman draped in a green dress at the bottom of the staircase.
Isn't that great? So I wanted to show you that because... this person, I don't know this person, and they have been a listener, and they reached out over email, and I am so grateful because, you know, in order to do this listeners episode, we totally had to reach out to, like, some of our closest friends and family, and we're like, write us, please.
We just had to beg our friends and family.
Please support us.
No, but this is why you need to share us with your friends so we can get more listeners.
Please check out our Patreon. Like, we really love your support, and it actually helps us sustain. Mm-hmm. We plan on doing a lot of things in the future, and your support means everything to us.
Yes, we want a recording studio. Please help.
We are working on it. So I'm really excited to share this. I've only read a portion of it, so I saved the latter half as a surprise for both of us because I read the first half and I was like, oh, this is a fucking cool story.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Okay, here it goes. And this person goes by AC or Andrew. Hello, Holly and Megan. My story starts at work, at a place called Gary Lee's Motor Pub and Grub.
I know that place.
You do? Where? Is it here in Colorado?
Yeah. It's right next to our work.
Ah.
I actually think it's that bar that we went to, remember last time? I think it used to be that, and now it's...
Yeah. Well, he says, or yeah. They say...
Do you remember that bar we went to right when the quarantine started?
No.
Oh. We did, like, the Goddess 13 ceremony with Lexi in the space, and we all pampered each other.
Yeah,
pretty sure. I could be wrong.
I think that used to be Gary Lee's.
Yeah, I used to go there.
Oh my God. Well, here it goes.
Okay.
Well, my story starts at work at a place called Gary Lee's Motor Pub and Grub. It's actually closed now because of Gary's passing due to an unrelated sequence of events in Mexico.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, AC or Andrew, do you have more on that?
Yeah, will you please write us in? We want to know the dirty details.
He actually got into a scooter accident.
Aww.
It's so sad.
That's kind of anticlimactic, too.
I know, but I kind of want to know the other parts. While working there, I met someone who was an artist and a server. I was a cook, so our interactions were brief, though I remember them being energetically charged in what you would call a cerebral or telepathic way. When she needed help moving some paintings, I volunteered without hesitation. I helped her. I saw her work was impressive, and impressive in the sense that they had some pretty esoteric imagery as far as mermaids, geometric shapes, chimeras. Do you know what that is? Chimeras. And other symbology I was familiar with.
Chimera.
Yeah, please look it up while I'm continuing.
Oh my God, am I going to teach you something this time?
Yes, you are.
This is the first time I've ever defined a word for Holly.
She's
always defining words for me. Not that I know it, though. I have to look it up.
That's okay.
Chimera. In Greek mythology, a fire-breathing female monster with a lion's head, a goat's body, and a serpent's tail.
Holy fucking shit. I turn into that when I PMS.
Is that your spirit animal?
That's my spirit animal.
Chimera.
I met, and I'm going to bleep out their person's name because they had kind of said that they probably wouldn't give out their information or last name, which is fine.
Fair.
So I met them around the time I started watching David Icke with my roommates more often than usual. Who's David Icke?
I don't know. Are we supposed to know that?
Look it up. Yes, please, while I continue. I've had a shamanic path since 2010, so I was aware of what she was creating on a basic level. just that she was creating images with spiritual imagery. Okay. I wasn't aware of sigils yet. Okay, what is it?
David Icke is an English conspiracy theorist and a former football and sports broadcaster, and he's written more than 20 books and has lectured over 25 countries.
Interesting.
On what, though? Hang on. I don't know. He looks like a conspiracy theorist. Anyway.
What does a conspiracy theorist look like? Show me a picture.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Let me see this. Yeah, he has like the furrowed brow. I think all conspiracy theorists have a furrowed brow. It's like a perma brow, a perma furrow.
Just the fact that in the title of his YouTube video, he has to shout in all caps to get his point across.
What does it say?
It says, they have to lie and censor. The truth would destroy them and will eventually. David Icke dot connector video cast. Please share with everyone to bypass censorship.
Okay, well, continuing on.
Anyway.
After helping her move her paintings to a warehouse in the Rhino District, she requested that I model for some of her future work, and I guess I was drawn to her and agreed. So at this point in time, right after she photographed me and I photographed her, she started on the piece quickly, which was surprising. At this point, I found out her roommate also went by Andy. So maybe he goes by Andy sometimes too, okay. I guess. She got her paintings of me to a point that she could live paint it during the Burning Man decompression.
Whoa.
I went and received a vibe for sure. After the decompression, things started happening.
Ooh.
First, my friend in theater asked me to produce the final show for her. And it was surprising because she had been producing this series for so long. But I agreed and did that. Then her boyfriend, Russell, drank himself into a coma during the show.
Oh my.
Right? And we all found out he'd been drinking vanilla extract stolen from the store.
What?
Did he put himself into a coma from the vanilla extract or from alcohol? I don't fucking know.
No, it can't be. Why are you drinking vanilla extract?
Apparently, Ryan's relationship with his brother was deteriorating and the surprise of his death was felt throughout the house. While he was in a coma, our roommate, Ryan's brother, who lived in Ohio, also Russell, suddenly died. While Russell, our roommate, was in a coma. Apparently, Ryan's relationship with his brother was deteriorating and the surprise of his death was felt throughout the house. Then my female friends started dyeing their hair burgundy, including the two girls I was intimate with, like all the exact same color.
Whoa.
So at this point, my hearing started going out during key moments at work. And while riding my bike to and from work, I had a semi drive very closely by me while riding my bike, and without hearing it, I could feel the wind in its wake. This was on Glenarm, an otherwise slow street in 2013. Mm. Then, one night, for no apparent reason, Shane, our roommate, comes home blacked out and starts problems with my girlfriend and I from outside our bedroom door. I ended up beating Shane up pretty bad.
Whoa.
I couldn't handle my girlfriend being scared by him, and I reacted. I realized later the only other real fight I'd been in was with the other person named Shane.
Whoa.
I know.
Synchronicity.
I just got the chills up my spine.
I've gotten them three times already during this story.
Andrew, we're feeling you.
Chills are real, empath, just so you know.
I went to stay with a childhood friend over the weekend and experienced psychic imagery, a gigantic ball of multicolored light and sleep paralysis.
Whoa.
I happened to be watching a video about four-dimensional predators and how they feed on emotions.
Fuck.
Yeah. Recently, I've learned more about biophotons. Photons?
What? Do we need to look this up too?
Yeah.
Is he going to explain it? Or?
But that's another subject.
Oh, okay. Well, wait. You better.
Andrew, you need to write back in. We need more information,
please. You can't tease us like this, so you better write us for next listener's episode and explain. Thank you.
Yes. You already know our email. Now, not only was I feeling frightened by everything, but my health was responding and I had a cold. I found some spices and herbs to aid my ailment and did research. I found out I had been fracturing my consciousness with promiscuity and indulgence, and I needed to repair my soul.
Wow. Can I just say real quick,
yes.
This is so relevant for me right now.
Yeah.
Like, I keep drawing these oracle cards that say, like, to listen to clairaudience and clairvoyance and repetitive messages.
Ah.
And one of them is exactly that
Andrew, you're speaking to Megan right now.
What was it again?
What we're talking about?
You don't know what we're talking about, but you definitely relate. No, just kidding.
No, it was good. I want to know.
Fracturing my consciousness with promiscuity and indulgence.
Yes. Okay, so I was just listening to yesterday morning Alan Watts, and he was talking about like only giving into indulgences all the time and how it hinders our enlightenment.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, he talks about blind lust. Mm-hmm. He's like, we have this ego that is located somewhere midway between the eyes and above the throat. And that is our ego.
You are an audible learner. You remember everything. You're so crazy.
I fucking love Alan Watts, man.
Yeah. But it's true. Like, you constantly give into indulgences and then we stop.
We stop. Yeah. Well, and like even Andrew is saying, like, he realized he needed to repair his soul.
Yeah. And Alan Watts even talks about how, like, when we give into pleasure over and over and over and over and over and over again, it eventually turns into pain. Aww. Like, it moves from the light into the dark.
Absolutely. Like,
yeah. It's crazy.
So he finishes with, I started visiting large bodies of water, like the lake at Wash Park, and reciting prayers to the Archangel Michael. Mm. I found some level of higher consciousness and eventually got better. Russell came out of the coma too. We asked him what he felt like, and he said he dreamt of getting fucked up the whole time. That's my story. Thanks, Andrew. Andrew, I really want to hear more from you. We want to hear more from you. That's a fucking amazing story. I want you to know, Andrew, I printed out the picture. I'm not going to put it on the episode because I really want to protect his privacy and also the artist's privacy, because this is an incredibly intense story.
But know that it's beautiful. You. And Andrew, if you give us permission to release it next episode, maybe
that would be great. We would love to hear back.
But yeah, let's hear back from you because you sound like a cool fucking person.
Yeah, right.
So this next story is by a dear, dear friend of Holly and mine, Sierra, and we love you so much.
We love you so much.
And we miss you so much during this quarantine. I wish I could hang out with you and your adorable baby. So, this is how her story goes. On my run this morning, a young guy ran between me and an elderly couple. I was 7 to 8 feet away on the grass with the stroller to give space, and he ran between us. Maybe a foot away from this woman, elderly woman. I became so enraged in that moment, and without thinking, I went into a violent fantasy. I know these well.
Me too.
I grabbed him by the neck and threw him on the ground. I asked him if he was afraid of getting his shoes dirty and covered in goose poop and smeared the bottom of my shoe into his face. Oh, dang, girl, shit. Get it. It was so gratifying in the moment. I had a little rush. This is a very unfamiliar experience for me, but in that moment, I felt that I understood something profound. In reality, as this man ran by, I did nothing. I indulged my rage, realized that I was projecting. That there is so much uncertainty in this time, that the world is already filled with so many people that I deem to be hateful, racist, ageist, chauvinistic, and anti-human rights. I perceived all of that was part of who this person was and unleashed my complex and full feelings onto him. In reality, I don't know anything about this person. Maybe he is a completely horrible man, but either way, violent actions would have been completely unacceptable. And I think, Sierra, it's healthy to release your emotions through these fantasies.
Yeah, just fantasize beating the shit out of him. You're fine.
Yeah, if you feel better afterwards, fucking fantasize the violence. It's okay. Just don't do it. Especially with your baby there. The reason why I was able to disassociate him from my feelings was something that we don't encourage in our society. Thank you. Compassion, empathy, and emotional maturity. These are qualities of the feminine divine and that exist within all of us. We live in a world so engorged with the glamorization of masculine qualities that we degrade almost all qualities that originate anywhere else. If we had spent an iota of the time developing our sense of compassion, our ability to nurture one another, or evolving our understanding of our emotions, that we have erecting buildings into the sky and creating war machines, this world would be completely a different place. I am not degrading the process of modern society. I have no interest in a lack of running water, electricity, or museums, but these human qualities should be in balance. The masculine destructive energy, competitive energy, violent energy is in all of us, just as much as the nurturing, empathetic, and creative feminine energy. We live in a culture where we have all lost our intuition. If we could look into the eyes of the people around us and see ourselves, see that one parent losing their child is the same as any parent losing their child. The one person being sick and afraid is the same as any other. We would not dehumanize each other and so easily encourage the destruction of certain people's humanity. We would also recognize the nuance of our individual needs and stories. Oh, Sierra, I want to like snap. It's so beautiful. Yeah, girl, get it. I mean, yeah, woman. I'm trying not to call grown women girls anymore.
Yeah.
We are living in an embodiment of patriarchy unhinged. Our leaders fulfill violent ideology, as I had this morning, but in action throughout their days. They sign treaties and destruction of people and lands for what they deem is the protection of themselves and their assets. Many leaders have no respect for women in any way, let alone the qualities of femininity. We are so stunted in our emotional growth and have built a world so focused on fear and violence that we now protect it. The reason that this feels so powerful to me is because it can be put into direct action. We may not be able to agree on the leaders that should be elected or the policies that should be in place, but in our own homes, we can teach compassion. We can teach it to our children. We can find it within ourselves. We can share it with whomever we come into contact with. It is hard. It is much easier to be angry, to assume that the people around us are incompetent and need to learn a lesson, preferably the hard way. Empathy takes practice. Since we have not been fostering this in our society and over generations, it will be a lesson that takes time to understand and a lifetime towards mastery. It is a worthy pursuit. I have tasked myself with it, and I encourage everyone to think about finding these nurturing qualities within themselves and to take a step back when we immediately assume that we know something about someone else. I often see the world in black and white. Destruction of the planet is wrong. Anyone who votes in any way to destroy it needs to be taken out of power. Racism is wrong. Anyone who doesn't understand the far-reaching effects of white privilege shouldn't be making decisions for us. Our leaders should be public servants and held to a high standard. Wealth should not be hoarded. Corporations should be highly regulated for the greater good. When it comes to all of us down here, though, living our daily lives and trying to cope with all of the decisions being made for us, I am softer. I am working to be kinder and am committed to the pursuit of understanding compassion. If we can all take steps toward that in our personal lives, it will be steps closer to demanding it in the greater sense of the world. Sierra, that was so fucking beautiful.
It was beautiful.
And I couldn't have put it better myself. I just want to share a real quick story with you about Sierra. So Sierra is, to me, a very kind and gentle, loving soul, but she does have that feminist bite.
Yeah.
It's awesome, though. It's like a perfect combination. So we were at the gym together one time, and there's this like elderly guy at the gym. Maybe you've seen him there because Holly and I go to
the gym. Is he the one that runs around?
He jogs around.
He's so fucking sweet.
Yeah, that's what I thought in the beginning, too. So he's so sweet, and he just like stops and randomly interrupts hot girls in their workout to talk to them. And he would come to me sometimes when I was doing like a handstand push-up on the wall, and he'd just like give me a thumbs up, and I'd be like, oh, I have my headphones in, I can't hear you, whatever. So one day I didn't have my headphones in, and I went to talk to him, and he just like talked my fucking ear off. And I got to the point where I was like, okay, I have to go pick up my son at daycare, so I'm gonna go, which was the truth. And as soon as I turned to walk away, he grabbed my arm
what the fuck,
and turned me back and kept talking to me. Yeah.
I had and no so, idea. Really?
Yeah. So this happened. And of course, you guys, like, I want to, like, I advocate for always sticking up for yourself. In this moment, I was so just, like, trying to pick up my son before the daycare charged me a late fee that I just kind of left and forgot about it. But then when Sierra and I were at the gym a little bit later, we saw the same guy running around. I told her, I was like, that's that weird dude that, like, runs around and talks to all the chicks and harasses them. And right as I was telling her the story about him grabbing my arm, we watched him talking to a woman in the distance, and she turned away and he grabbed her arm and kept talking to her. And I was like, oh my God, he just did it again. And Sierra got livid. Like, you could see her just like
shit.
Total demeanor change. And she was like, do you want me to go talk to him? And I guess she said she's been called by friends in the past like a pit bull. Because you can, like, sick her on men because she'll just, like, she has no...
Get it, Sierra.
Yeah, she has no fear.
Oh, so. Shit. I didn't view that guy that way. I mean, he's stopped and talked to me, but I don't know. That's interesting.
I mean, he never stops and talks to men or... elderly people, or he just preys on
women.
And that's how I saw him in the beginning too. I was like, oh, what a sweet old man. He's just lonely and he wants to talk to people. But if that were the case, he would only talk to young women, and he wouldn't grab them when they tried to walk away. It's not okay.
Well, that makes me sad. So now Sierra, I can't ever look at him the same way again.
No, and next time you're going to glare at him and you're going to file a complaint if he touches you.
You know, he's 86.
Yeah. And I know he's just lonely, and that's fine, but you can be lonely and not be a fucking pervert. So anyway, Sierra, shout out to you and your badass fucking feminist ways.
We love you so much.
You are such a role model for me, and I love you so
much.
Thank you for listening and writing in. Yay.
Okay. My turn.
Your turn.
So this one is from Dominica. I love this person. She is in Oregon and a good friend's sister of mine who has expressed so much joy of listening to our podcast, which makes me really happy. You know, Dominica, thank you. We haven't had a lot of time to really get super close. I mean, Carmen and I have been friends for, 14 years. But Dominica and I have really only seen each other in passing and whatnot. But having her listen to the podcast in Oregon has just been really beautiful.
That means the world to us, you guys.
Really does. Thank you so much. Yeah, really, seriously. You guys are the reason why we continue to do this and feel sustained and filled up.
Yeah, and you can't see us, but we're hardcore cheesing right now. Yeah, smiling. There's people like in other states listening to us.
Yay. And around the world, you know? Oh, I haven't checked the analytics lately, but I know that there's lots of great listeners around the world. And it's just really wonderful that podcasts do that for people. We get to reach people all around the globe, and it just makes us feel really great.
We get to connect with all walks of life.
Yeah.
It's very beautiful.
Absolutely.
Especially during this time of isolation.
So Dominica wrote in, and I will say, Dominica, I apologize. I'm going to cut down just a little bit of the email, mainly because
we're just
running short on time. Well, we're running short on time, but also because so much of what you shared, I think, will not fall short, but we might lose some listeners with the jargon. So,
she's too smart for us.
Oh, Dominica, you're just too smart for us. Thank you. No, it's so true. But she listened to the very first episode, or it was either the first or the second episode, where I talk about anxiety. Mm-hmm. And there was some things that she kind of brought up, which I thought was really wonderful. And
is Dominica like a doctor?
Yeah. So she's actually a licensed marriage and family therapist in Oregon. She delved into the DSM, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual that therapists and psychiatrists use to diagnose. Hmm. And when we talked about anxiety in whatever fucking episode that was, pretty sure it was the first episode. I think it was.
Episode one.
Thank you. She was able to include a few things in there that I feel are really pertinent. So one of the things is she said that in the DSM, the previous version had the simple diagnosis of generalized anxiety with an attached NOS. And NOS stands for not otherwise specified.
Mm. Oh,
so
yeah.
This means
it's
that...
very broad.
Yeah, it's incredibly broad. And I think that that's actually remains to be true to this day.
Yeah.
So this means that a person has a lot of the symptoms of what we would call generalized anxiety disorder, but not all of them. And it's not quite enough to meet the criteria for a diagnosis. But the closest diagnosis sometimes would include an RO, which stands for rule out. Mm-hmm. So that the clinician might look at, say, generalized anxiety disorder or a major depressive disorder, for example. But then they would also have to summarize with a number of diagnoses, example, generalized anxiety disorder, not otherwise specified, ruling out, blah, blah, blah. So basically she, in the first portion of her email, really delves in and explains why therapists use the DSM and why they will not diagnose somebody generally with like generalized anxiety disorder or manic depressive disorder, because there's other elements that don't quite fit.
Hmm. Like what?
Well, so she says a clinician can diagnose and provide the reason that the person does not meet full criteria for a specific anxiety diagnosis, such as not meeting criteria for having anxiety more days than not having panic attacks, right?
it's a loose way of helping people to get the help that they need. I mean, and I think that that's really just stands to be true around the human condition.
So that's saying that if you have anxiety on more days of the week than you have panic attacks, that you don't have the generalized anxiety.
Yeah, and I think it's just kind of a crapshoot.
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I'm saying you can have anxiety. If you have anxiety every day of your life without panic attacks, that's an anxiety disorder.
Right. Yes. I mean, and I think it's really, it's a challenge for most therapists. So she says, so this part is my opinion. I'm going to kind of skip over, and I love you, Dominica. I hope that you don't be upset with me for skipping over some of that, the medical jargon, just because I think that it's relevant to the degree that all of us are trying to navigate where we're at in life. Mm-hmm. And when we go and see a therapist, a psychiatrist, or we go and see a doctor, they're just trying to rule out what doesn't exist and try to rule in what does.
That's a good recap, Holly. Also, Dominica, you are just way too smart for
us. You're way too smart for us. So she says, this part is my opinion. The way a person views their own problems is very important and can help guide a clinician in how to approach relieving and helping the distress. All this being said, I have learned a lot about anxiety since working in my current job with the county I live in. I tend to view anxiety as existing on a spectrum. Everyone has some anxiety. There is a healthy level anxiety, which I will insert in and say they call that eustress. Huh. Yeah, it's E-U-S-T-R-E-S-S.
Oh, I thought it was like Y-O-U.
No, not Y.
Yeah, it's your stress. That's it's yours. All you.
You hold that.
You're stressed? Oh, that's all you.
No, it's a healthy level of anxiety that helps us get things done on time and maybe could be thought of as healthy anticipation. And then the spectrum goes up. And at the other end, the high end of the spectrum, you find things like panic attacks, panic disorder, and then again, this is my opinion, things like obsessive compulsive disorder. The mind is a super interesting place. I like to describe anxiety or depression as just our minds out of balance, that the anxious or depressing thoughts having taken over the scale and outweighing our skill set and training to keep them in check. With guidance and practice, we can come back to a place of balance. But I do not subscribe to the concept of getting rid of anxiety because I have learned it is better to acknowledge it and work with it than to decrease it and to fight it, than to try to get it to go away because that is not realistic and often can cause more distress.
Yeah, if you're just suppressing it, it's just going to fester and grow and get worse.
Right? So this is my favorite part of the whole thing, Dominica. I love you because this is how she finishes with, anyway, I could go on, but I got shit to do. I use my handy dandy pocket DSM or the desk reference to the diagnostic criteria from DSM/5 book as reference to the above information. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist in Oregon. Ciao, Dominica.
So this next email is a story from another woman in Oregon. So thank you, Oregon, for listening to us. And I wonder if you guys know each other. And I feel like I do know this person personally, but I feel like maybe she wanted to remain a little bit anonymous. So I'm just going to say her name. She says, Megan and Holly, your podcast is making the pandemic more bearable. Good.
Yay.
I laugh so much listening to you two and learn something about myself every time.
Aww. Yay. That makes you so happy.
Like your topics, accepting who you are, and imposter syndrome. This has been an issue for me through two careers.
Aww.
Soon after listening to this podcast, I was cleaning out my files, what else to do during quarantine, and came across a file my husband, who never throws anything away, has kept during my nursing career. This file was stuffed with comment cards from patients and coworkers that health organizations let people write to thank people. Oh, that's really cool.
That's really sweet.
I was kind of astounded reading back over the many words of thanks and praise because most of the time I felt pretty inadequate and like everyone around me was doing a better job than I was. Aw. My mind kept going back to that episode. It was something I needed to hear. Oh, it's just like such
a. That makes my heart burst.
For real. I think that so many people, especially like earlier generations, are so conditioned to.
Like the boomer generations and like even the 50s and 60s. Well, the boomers is like what, 40s, 50s?
And then even, I would say even the people born in the 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they were like conditioned to think that thinking anything good of yourself or loving yourself was egotistical.
Right.
And it was a bad thing. So I feel like really like being able to realize that and see where it's holding you back in your life, because if everyone around you thinks you're fucking amazing, then you probably are, just as this story seems to be proving. She goes on to say, also, I'd encourage everyone to try the Yoga Nidra session. And she's talking about the Yoga Nidra that we recorded after episode 2.
Sure.
So you can go listen to that if you
please
want.
Please do. It's on our Spotify. It's mm-hmm. on Apple Podcasts. It's available. And Megan, I actually got the opportunity of laying down while she recorded that.
Yeah, she freeloaded the whole time.
I did. I dropped in hard. Yay. Megan is an excellent guide. Please go and listen to it.
I'm blushing.
Jaeger.
She goes on to say, oh, and if you liked the Shroom episode, check out the book How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan. Ooh. It's an emotional ride. Stay safe, you two. DC.
Oh, thank you, DC, thank so you, much. DC. We love you
so much. And also, we should include this also in the notes at the bottom of this book, because I've had a couple people comment since we recorded the episode on this book, and apparently it's like
a big thing.
Yeah, it's a really big deal. So
cool. Okay. I will put that in the episode notes. Thank you so much. I think that's it for today, right?
Yeah, we did it.
We did it. We muscled through, and we love so much. This has been part of our goal, is to create an interactive experience with our listeners. We don't want to just talk at you. We want to hear from you. Please.
Please write in. If you have anything to say, anything at all, write in to yogaindthedark@gmail.com.
I love that you look at me every time like you're afraid you're going to mess it up.
And also check out our Patreon at patreon.com/yogaindthedark. We really do need support right now. We
have two Patreons. Please sign up. And it's two of our best friends. We need your help.
Thank you so much, Lexi and River. But we do need.
We want more. More. We want your help and support.
If you are financially able, just donate $1 or $3 a month.
Yeah, you can set the amount. We have a $3 and a $5 tier, but you can go in and you can actually set your amount. You don't have to be forced into doing any of those. Even if you want to donate $1 a month, that goes a long way. We're looking at revamping a lot of things, and you'll probably find that out in our next episode. We're going to switch some things up. We have somebody that we're about to network with editing, because I've been doing it, and I know that we jokingly say that it takes me about 12 hours, but it really does.
Poor Holly listening to us just like ranting.
I mean, you know, honestly, I don't mind. It the funny parts are awesome. I was jokingly saying to Megan, I was like, yeah, so I edit with the with my headphones in a lot. So it's quiet. And I wonder what my roommates think when I suddenly burst out laughing, which is great. Yeah.
And if you want to hear these bloopers, sign up.
They're
on
there. And Megan came over today and I was like, hey, girl, because she was kind of feeling down. And I was like, please listen to this. She was so blue. But she started listening to these bloopers and she's laughing so hard. She was crying. Oh, and we want that for you guys as well.
So much better. You guys, right now in this time, laughter is the best therapy. So if you get any kind of amusement out of listening to Holly and I, you should definitely subscribe.
Please
do. Become a patron and listen to our blooper reel. It's super fun. We're also offering tons of meditations on there. I'm soon going to be offering a cord cutting meditation.
Absolutely.
And you'll get lots of fun things, also like merch.
And yeah, we have eventually pens, stickers.
Yes, and eventually we'll do a live.
Very, very soon.
Instagram TV or something.
Live TV, whatever.
You guys, I'm a yoga teacher. I am not a technical
Well,
savvy
neither am
person.
I really. That's why we're networking out. And we're upgrading here in the very near future. And so we would just love your support. Thank you so much.
Yeah, fingers crossed for a recording studio.
Keep writing us.
Help us out, please.
Yep. And we love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
I actually just had a conversation today with Jesus fucking Christ. I don't even know who. Sorry, I've dropped the J bomb like a few times. Jesus.
Can we just call him J Bomb from now on? He's like a rapper.
He is DJ J Bomb.
I can just see Jesus on the stage DJing. This is DJ J Bomb. Put your hands up.
that's the crowd, you guys.
Yeah.
shit, I got derailed.
Wow, we should be DJs.
Fuck podcasting. Why are we doing a podcast? Let's become a DJ.
You guys, if you would like us to become DJs, please write us
at yogaonthedark@gmail.com. We will have a soon. What the fuck am I saying?
We will have
a new email soon with our DJ names.
If you would like a episode where we just DJ for you.
I could try to beatbox. Not right now.